Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, look with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, as you're turning there, let me thank you for just the blessings of this church and how you have been taking care of my wife and I, and it's just a tremendous blessing for God to give us prolonged opportunities to continue to preach and to serve Him. And I am getting much better after heart surgery. It's been, I think, 12 weeks now, so almost back to normal. So praise the Lord for that and for all the prayers and just the blessings of that God's bestowed upon us. And so thank you, church, for your support of your pastor. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to start reading in verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 15 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, God, thank you for loving us, and thank you for the opportunity that you made available to all that are here today to be in church and to receive that which you have for us through the congregational singing and special music. And now as we've opened up the precious word that you have preserved for us, I pray, God, that you would bless in the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. What do you consider to be the good things of life? What would you think to be in your own life? What would you look to as the good things of life? No doubt many here this morning would say family. Family is the most important thing. It's the best thing about living life is having a good family. Some would say employment. One of the good things that I can think about is having the job of my dreams, being able to work and look forward to going to work every day. And you would say good things of life is my employment. Others might say, well, the good things for me in my life is my house. I love my owning my own house. I love the design of my house. I love just being able to go home and have a house to go home to and be able to enjoy having our own house. Some might say this morning, no, it's my car. I got the car of my dreams. It's got the car that I've always wanted, and God's allowed me to be able to have this, and I've always been somewhat of someone that likes to have a nice car to drive. And so you'd say, no, the good things of life would be having the car of my dreams. Others say, no, it's just my clothes. I like to dress for whatever occasion. I like to be able to have the types of clothes that I've always wanted to have, and now I go into my closet, and there they are. The good things of life is I have my clothes, and I have something for every occasion. I can go in there and find exactly what I want to put on. Others, my wife would agree, is shoes. The good thing about life is being able to buy another pair of shoes every day. Yeah, I don't know what you do with so many shoes, but I mean, some people, it's all about shoes, you know. That just sets off the outfit, you know. I just got to have the right shoes for the apparel that I'm wearing, whatever that means. Others might say, no, it's jewelry. I finally got that diamond ring, or I got that diamond necklace, or I got this, or I got that. And so you think, good things, the good things of life. As we've read here in 2 Peter chapter 1, God, through the Apostle Peter, reveals some good things. Some things that are obtainable to all believers. Some things that are obtainable to everyone that would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Things that Peter knew would make a difference. Now, you might have some of the good things of this life that you have been looking for, and you might be excited about having that. But can I tell you, God's good things will make a difference in our lives. Peter understood how these would make a difference, and he would say in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Verse 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle." His tabernacle is his body, his physical body. As long as I have a physical body to live in, he says, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I understand this is so important. This is life-changing that I want to give my life to making sure that people are in remembrance of these things. He says in verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things." He knew that he would be part of penning the very words of God, as Peter would write 1 and 2 Peter. He understood that God would have his word preserved for all believers of this church age. That these things, to have these things always in remembrance. As we look here into chapter 1, the first four verses, Peter lists several things leading up to the first good thing. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith, you can obtain salvation. You can obtain having the faith in Jesus Christ that will bring to you everlasting life. He says, to those, I'm writing to those who have obtained this. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. We have this idea of obtaining this faith, the salvation. We have the idea of having the grace and peace being multiplied. We have in verse 3, he says, according to his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that calleth us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. These all are leading up to this first good thing that he presents, and that is, these might be, that by these things, these, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Amen. That we might be partakers of God's divine nature. God's nature is heaven on earth. It's what allows us to escape the corruption of this world. Did you see that? That we might be able to partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Inside of every one of us is a seed of corruption. No matter what the philosophers of the day might say, we study the Bible and we understand that because of Adam's sin, that sin nature has been passed down to every person that has been born since that time. And it's corrupt. It's that sin nature that leads us to sin. And when we yield to that sin nature, then we just continue one sin after another. It's a sinful nature. If you look back, or let me just read this to you, in the book of James in chapter 1 and verse 14, James writes and he says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." It's from within us. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Ultimately, sin is anything that's opposite the will of God. And anything that is opposite the will of God will eventually lead to some kind of death. The sin nature led to a spiritual death between man and God. And that's why God sent his only begotten Son, to pay a sin debt that man owed and couldn't pay. And Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, the righteous Son of God, only begotten, the only one of a kind, only one without a sin nature. He's the only one that could have paid a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. No other man, because we all have a sin nature and we all deserve to hang on a cross, if you will. The wage of sin is death, the payment. But Jesus had no sin. And he paid our sin debt so that he might be able to offer us everlasting life. A reconciliation to be redeemed to an almighty God. Yeah. Wow. God's desire for all humanity is to have his divine nature. It's available. Probably not only a good thing for us, but it's probably the best thing. When you really stop and understand that it's a part of what eternity will be like, in heaven anyway. The nature of God, the way it's going to be in heaven, is available to you and I through Jesus Christ. A divine nature, the affections of the mind, appetites, passions, disposition of life. As we have a sin nature leads us to commit sin, and the ways of that sin, as the end result of sin, is death. The very opposite is true when you yield to the divine nature of God. It's that which is of God, it's that which is of heaven that we can experience, and it is a much better way to live life. It brings us the blessings of God. It brings us the blessings of living a life that is pleasing to God. A sinless life. If we would continue to yield to the nature of God and to the Holy Spirit of God that leads within us, we would not commit sin. We would not commit sins of the mind. We would not commit sins of the flesh. We would not commit the sins that are brought to us in through lust. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. We would not go down that road. It's not God's will that we sin. It's God's will that we sin not. And He has provided us His holy nature that is obtainable. Living according to the divine nature of God is so different than living by the lust of the flesh. It's like living on the street versus living in a 5-star resort. It's like eating out of a garbage can or sitting down to an elegant filet mignon. It's a different lifestyle if you yield to it. It's a different way of thinking that leads to a better way of life. It's partaking, being a partaker of His divine nature. And when you yield to it, it helps you to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Wow. If only we would desire that. Some people get focused on the certain things of this life. And yes, I understand it's something that you desire, whether it be, you know, a family. Praise the Lord for a family, the blessings of a family, the blessings of a marital relationship, a right marital relationship, the blessings of owning your own home, the blessings of having the transportation of your dreams, and on and on and on, all the different things. But if we would have the very same desire for what God wants us to have as we do the things of this world, wow. What a difference it would make. I dare say the reason that we are struggling in whatever areas of life, somewhere in the midst of that is the corruption of a sinful nature and a failure to have the nature of God. Because if we have the divine nature of God, it will affect our affections of the mind, our appetites, our passions, our disposition of life. And God says, you can have it. You can have it. What a good thing to have. What a good thing to have. Peter doesn't stop there. In verse 5 through 9. He gives us, he said, beside this, having this divine nature and having this salvation, he said, adding with giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And these all are part of the divine nature, but these are things that we have to yield to, we have to give ourselves to, and adding to salvation, which is a gift. Salvation's a gift. These other things are things I have to yield to and add to. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be. And this is a second good thing that God wants for every believer to have. It'll make a difference in your life. That you make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Outside of living by the divine nature of God, which will make a difference in your life. Bearing fruit will make a difference in your life. We can always be bearing fruit. What is bearing fruit? It's accomplishing things for God through your living of your life. Many would say soul winning, leading somebody to Christ, which is a part of bearing fruit. Amen. That is doing something with your life, being a witness. And the Bible tells us in this New Testament church age that we are to go into all the world. And that's the main purpose of the church, assembling ourselves together and doing the work of Christ. We're the light of the world. And we are to take the gospel, the salvation message, to all the world so that we can see souls saved. That's bearing fruit. But it goes beyond that as well. It is being able to live your life and accomplishing things for God. It's God's will for our lives. And if you will, it's a good thing. If we would continue to add to our salvation the things that he says to virtue, character, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, just yielding to the Spirit of God and living as the divine nature would lead us to live our lives, then we will continue to bear fruit. Stop for a minute and think. If you're saved here this morning, can you think of something that you've accomplished for the cause of Christ this past week? Sometimes we get caught up in our work. Sometimes we get caught up in our family. Sometimes we get caught up in all the other things of life that we think are good things, and we lose sight of the best things. All these things are good things. Praise the Lord for them. But they will even be better if we are receiving the good things that God has for us. Living by his divine nature. That's a game changer. It really is. Knowing that I am accomplishing things for God, making a difference in eternity. Storing up treasures in heaven. Can I tell you that is something that we ought to have? If you're saved, you know it's real. If you're saved, you ought to have a desire to have these things. I ought to have a desire to be fruitful, to live a life that is bearing fruit for Christ. As we are bearing fruit for Christ, it will come back to give you something that you can't get from this world, and that's the joy of the Lord. And I can have it. It's obtainable. I can bear fruit. Wow. Look at verse 10. The next thing that he tells us here. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you know you're saved, you know, you understand this divine nature, and you understand this idea of bearing fruit, ye shall never fall. That's something God says available to me in my life. And it's something that I should desire, because it is the blessings of God associated with never falling. Shall never fall. Fall back into a life of sin. How many are saved here this morning? You've been saved for some time, and you can go back and say, you know, I fell back into a life of sin, and I did things as a Christian that I so regret today. And I have that scar that even though I get forgiveness and cleansing of sin, the scars are there. And I live with that for the rest of my life as regret. The Bible says if you continue to do what God would have you to do, that you shall never fall. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, this is what Peter writes in verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that means they have escaped that, they have been saved, and they've turned to the divine nature, and through the divine nature they've overcome the corruption. But the Bible says they are again entangled therein. They've fallen back. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Often a fall is caused by a stumble. Some people stumble more than others. Some people just aren't as coordinated as others. Amen. You lose your balance. And sometimes you can catch your balance and not fall. But other times you've lost your balance and you fall. And when you fall, there's pain associated with a fall. Spiritually thinking, can I tell you, there's always going to be pain associated with a spiritual falling away from God. And sometimes we do damage to the ones we love the most because of our fall. Spouse, children, testimony. But the Bible says that I have this available to me, that if I understand how important it is and commit myself to doing what the Lord would have me to do, I don't have to fall. You shall never fall. I've counseled with many a people, Christians, that got off balance. They've allowed the workplace to overcome them to the place where they're not given as much time that they needed to their Christian life. They've given more time to the old nature than they have the new nature. They focused on more of this world than of the world to come. And they get off balance. And if they don't catch themselves and get back on balance and focused on the most important things of their life, they fall. And they do something that they didn't think they would ever do. Only to, after they have committed the sin and done the damage, to realize that's not what I want. That's not the direction I want to go. They can come back to the Lord. They can get the forgiveness, but they live with the scars and regret. The best thing to do is not to fall. The best thing to do is today, before the fall comes, is to strengthen yourselves, turn to God, and realize what God has for me, and give myself to doing what God says to do so that I shall never fall. It's possible to live your entire Christian life without ever falling. Now, you might stumble, and you might lose some balance every now and then, but you get back on track before you fall and do the damage that a fall will bring. Peter goes on, and there's one last thing I want to share with you this morning. God's good things. Peter knew that that would make a difference, and that's why he said, I'm committing my life to remind you. You might know these things, but if you're not looking to God, you can be blinded to them. And not only while he was alive in his tabernacle, but once he would be gone, he wanted to make sure they were written down. God would use him to write the books that he would write. Verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, And this last thing here, and be established in the present truth. It's a good thing to be established in the teachings of Christ. The present truth that he was talking about is the change that Jesus brought into the world. He fulfilled the Old Testament. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled everything that they had been focused on up to this point. And he presents to them this present truth that has always been God's will and will continue to be God's will throughout this New Testament church age. Well, how we need to be established in it. To be firmly fixed or settled permanently. You see, to truly know what you know will get you through some of the toughest struggles of life. I talk to people that go through a lot of tough things. Cancer, divorce, loss of loved ones. And Satan wants to attack their faith. And if you don't at that point know what you know, he's going to win the battle. He's going to use that trial to destroy you instead of God using it to strengthen you. We can be settled. We can be established in our faith. We can be established in the teachings of Christ. And when you're established in the teachings of Christ, because you have read the teachings of Christ and you focus on the study of the teachings of Christ and you've been influenced by the teachings of Christ through his church, when you come to his church, then the church ought to be here to influence everybody that comes through those doors on what thus saith the Lord and what Jesus Christ established for this New Testament Christian life. As a pastor, one of my goals, one of the things that I am committed to doing is preaching Christ. So when people come through the doors and they sit in these pews, they hear Christ being preached. They hear the Word of God being revealed, because that's where your faith needs to be and that's where your strength will come from. That's what you need to be established on. If you're establishing yourself on the teachings of Christ, this present truth, you will know what you know, and no matter what you have to face in life, you can get through it. Because you know what you know. I've told so many people that as they go through some of the very difficult things of life. And you're looking in the tabernacle or the house that a loved one used to live in. I said, yeah, look, that's the body they live, that's the house, but they're not there. Know what you know. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can I tell you what a game changer that is? It takes a sting out of death to know, to truly know and believe, be established in what you know. We can have these good things as we learn what Christ teaches. We can have his divine nature. It's a good thing. We can live a life of purpose bearing fruit. It's a good thing. We can live a life without regrets or falling. It's a good thing. And we can be settled, established in my faith. It will make a difference if we have these good things. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. They're obtainable. All of these things that Peter presents to us are obtainable to anyone who would want them. Not forced on anybody, but God makes them available to anyone who would want them. Do you want them? You want the good things that you want? Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with some of those things, but the best things is what God has for you. We all need to want what God has for us. These good things. Begins with salvation. You can obtain the faith that brings us everlasting life. That opens a door to all these other good things. If you don't have that this morning, I encourage you to come to this altar and let somebody take you to the words of God, where you can find what God says you need to do to have these things. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that as we've just looked at this passage of scripture here this morning, and there's so much here, but the good things that you've revealed to us, knowing that they're available to us, help us, God, to desire them. Work in the midst. In Jesus' name. Amen.